Hey, greetings everyone, this is Brother James, NoParish.com, John 424 Radio, coming to you again. The Lord lets me come again on another day to bring you truth and discernment from His Word. Today I want to talk about a good death. A good death. What a strange topic, isn't it? But it'll make sense to you by the time I'm done, I'm sure. As a street preacher, going out in the world to stand against the darkness, to preach the gospel truth that's hated in the world, I've often talked about and told people that I've asked God, my creator, my master, for a good death. Now, I know I can't control my own death. This isn't about suicidal thoughts or anything like that, but it's the desire of the heart to have a good death for the Lord. Let me explain kind of my mindset here. As a brand new saint many years ago, I thought that a good death would be martyrdom. You know, you read of the martyrs and you think, well, that's the way you got to die for God. It's the only good way that you could really die for God, is being a full-out martyr for the cause. But as I mature over the years, I see there's many good ways to die well for the Lord. We're going to discuss that a little bit later. Let me read a verse to you. Philippians 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and the hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I like that. In boldness, whether in life or in death. So to kind of set the stage for this teaching, I want to talk to you about a famous evangelical evangelist. I'm not going to name him. Don't want to give him any favor. He was a unbiblical, heretical man. But he started an organization, became very well known, and he actually was mingling and friends with and closely involved with the likes of other false teachers like Billy Graham. And I want to talk about his sad death. You know, when you read the scriptures, we see men like Jesus, our Lord, Savior, Master, Creator, fully man, fully God. We see Paul, we see Peter, we see the prophets, we see John the Baptist. They all met with death via persecution. It was all about the cause of the gospel and the kingdom of God. This was their entire life. They lived it and they died for it. Now, this false evangelical man died in a very different manner. How did this man die at about, I don't know what age he was, in his 50s maybe? He died in a water skiing incident. Are you familiar with water skiing? This is where you go on a lake, you tie a rope to a fast boat, you fly around on little wooden rails, you can fall in the water and break your neck, you can get hit by other boats, you can drown. It's a dangerous thing. I know all about this. I used to do it when I was a carnal pagan man, way back when. I used to be a water skier and I loved it. It soothed my flesh. This man died in a water skiing incident. He was boating at a worldly Christian youth camp. You hear me speak against these worldly Christian youth camps all the time. He was at a Christian youth camp, and you know, in between their Bible studies and their singing songs, they go out and do carnal, silly, foolish, worldly things like water skiing. Well, the boat was hit by a big wave. Him and another, a younger woman got tossed out of the boat, and he drowned. Now, he did, as the record shows, try to save this young woman, and she ended up getting saved, didn't drown, and he ended up drowning. You might think, wow, how noble for him to help her. Yeah, it was a good thing. But I have a question. Should a man of God, with a testimony of living boldly for Christ, whether unto life or death, as Apostle Paul said, should he have been in such a carnal, fleshly place to die in such a manner? Clearly, it was not in the cause of the gospel. It was not in preaching. Clearly, it was in the cause of fun and foolishness and frivolity. I say no, his manner of death profaned God's name. When I read about it, I was like, oh my. Surely, no worse death could a man have than profaning the one who died to save him. Amen. Now, we've all heard about all the crazy stories like snake handling people that claim to be Christians dying of snake bites, or those people literally drinking poison and they die. I'm also reminded of another famous Pentecostal preacher. Again, won't mention him. He died in a head-on car collision, and later it was rumored, there was no skid marks, he swerved right head-on into a logging truck, I guess, that he may have been trying to end his own life because of some writings he had placed out there about he was depressed or whatever. Another questionable death to a man of God. Even we know about the sad accounts of people claiming faith and they enter into these mass suicides. They're following unbiblical heresy, demonic doctrines from cult leaders, and they die. These are all questionable deaths when you're claiming God. This should be not so for the death of a true saint of the Most High. Amen. So I have a question for you. We all look up to Apostle Paul, as we should, handpicked by Jesus to be the one to go and preach to the Gentiles. What if Apostle Paul, we learned, lived this life, you know, preaching the gospel, but then he died in a terrible Roman chariot racing crash? You know, he was kind of racing around with Peter, just having fun, and he got crushed under some chariot wheels. Would we look at the life of Paul? Would we see him as a different man than that which his writing speaks of him? Oh, I think so. I think so. That would steal the honor from his life, his message, his purpose, which is holiness in Christ, don't you think? I think it would. No, we have to be worthy in all of our ways, in life and in death. That's what I'm talking about. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling, and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power. You're not worthy when you're out water skiing around in immodesty and foolishness, and you die and bring stain on the name of Christ. You're just not acting in a worthy manner. Now, none of us are immune to this, myself included. I had an experience this last summer I want to share with you. It was down in Florida. We were down there preaching because it's a really good climate in the wintertime to preach, lots of outside events. Sister Debbie was in a store. I was out in the parking lot. We were down there preaching the gospel at a whole bunch of events. And I was making a video to send to my wife. I have to admit, it wasn't about scripture. It wasn't about anything eternal. It was something that was going to make her smile. I was going to make my wife smile with a video. And because of my foolishness and my unattentiveness of what was going on around me, I came inches within death. A man was in a pickup truck going about 40 miles an hour through the parking lot. I came around from behind a vehicle. He had to slam his brakes on. I remember looking inches before the truck stopped within a foot of me, thinking, wow, is this how I want to die, with my phone in my hand, making this video for my wife? Okay, nothing wrong with making your wife a video, but it wasn't exactly for the cause of Christ and eternal things. Do you see what I'm saying? So I had to ponder that, and it made me think of my actions and my efforts every day, and the time I have here. How am I using them, and how I'm living? And then how will I die according to that? You see what I'm saying? The two go together. How you spend your life has a big correlation of how you're going to die. I'm pretty sure that man that died water skiing, it's not the only carnal thing he did. He probably did all kinds of foolishness and carnality. Yeah. And while I do make videos sometimes for my wife to make her smile, I'm really careful now to not put myself at risk to do such things. So wisdom kicks in. And you do things different. So that really made me ponder, is that how I'd want my life to end? I don't think my wife would like my life to end that way. So we must be redeeming the time, Ephesians 5. So let's look at some more passages on death. God warned man about death, Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So we knew that when Adam and Eve made that choice, he brought death into the world. So this death is something everyone has to face. On this side of Christ's return, everyone's going to die. How do we live? And how do we die? Jesus, the Lamb of God, Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Obedient to death. This is what I'm talking about. No matter how obedient we live in life, Our death also reflects that, does it not? We can't let up for any minute. That man let up, and he died a foolish death, right? Some people let up, and they get swept away by false teachers, and their faith is shipwrecked, and they end up dying outside of Christ. How about we're baptized into him, so our life and death should glorify him? Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? What a glorious thing. We get grafted in with him into his death. How we live, then how we die really matters. Now, God tells us he has no pleasure in men dying outside of him, doing foolish things or acting in rebellion. Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way to live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? So God is calling out to Israel, the ones that are supposed to claim his name, saying he doesn't want them to perish. So this life and death, it's always part of us, right? We're going to live, we're going to die. We live by the very death of Christ. And it's a very fine balance. So when I speak of a good death, right, I kind of want to frame this out here. When I speak of a good death, let's see some faith people in the Bible that met with not so good deaths. We'll call it a bad death, a sinful death. Let's look in Scripture and see some men that died of some sinful deaths. Exodus 32. Moses has 3,000 Israelites killed by the sword. Why? They chose other gods than the one Most High God. What a terrible way to die when you're supposed to be his people. How about 2 Samuel 6:7? Uzzah, a priest, touches the falling ark when God said, don't touch my ark with human hands. God struck him dead that day. No matter how good and godly Uzzah was, what a terrible way to die, disobeying God, no matter what your intention was. See, people always say, well, they had good intentions. Good intentions mean nothing when it goes against the Most High. Think about that. How about Acts chapter 5? Yeah, right in the New Testament, a husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira, are killed because they lied about money. Yeah, God struck them dead. No matter how good and godly they were in the first century body, what do you think people said about them after their death? Interesting, isn't it? So we also can go to Scriptures and see the record of many godly, faithful saints that died, I'm going to call it, good and godly deaths. Let's talk about a few of these. Genesis 4, Abel, who was doing unto God what God called him to do, offering the first of his flock to God. His brother was jealous and killed him. Not the best way to die, but certainly an honorable death, honoring God, right? How about Judges 16:30? Samson, he's taken prisoner. They bring him out to like mock him and parade him around, and he kind of tricks them and says, hey, let me stand by those pillars over there. And they let him stand by the pillars, and he brings the building down upon everybody, and it ends up killing him too. Again, not what you would call, you know, who wants to die that way? I mean, who wants to die anyway? No one's looking forward to death other than going and being with our Lord and Savior. But Samson died, I would say, an honorable death unto God. How about Acts 7? Go read that. Verse 59 talks about Stephen being the first martyr, Christian martyr, stoned to death. Stephen was out preaching and doing miracles, and he was stoned to death. There's an honorable death unto God that people will say, that's Stephen. He lived out his faith. Stephen didn't die in some foolish fun horse racing accident. He died for the cause of Christ. I think you see my point. So like I said, I once thought that a death, being killed in the service of God out in the streets, preaching or being a martyr from the government, was the way a preacher and a man of righteousness had to go out. But, you know, I've come to see that death's going to come to all of us, and I've come to see it differently. Men like Peter, a faithful apostle, he died, and history says he was crucified upside down. He died in martyrdom. But then you have holy men of like John, who are just as faithful and godly. They died, he died, in a prison on the island of Patmos. We can only assume from natural causes. I mean, I guess they were feeding him, unless they starved him to death. But he died in a prison. So this is really, as I studied this out, this really made me ponder what's a good death versus not a good death. And I've come to see this. that a good death is a good life lived right to the end. Does that make sense? I hope it does. What I'm saying by this is, I know dying well is the result of living well for Christ in holiness, in obedience, not in sin, not in worldliness, not in foolish pursuits that really stain the name of our holy God and the purpose for which He called us to. We're aliens in this world. We're not to be part of the world and its ways and its foolishness and its flesh. Now, no matter the manner we die, murder in the streets while preaching, dying in a prison because you were preaching the gospel, or dying of cancer at age 55, or living to be old age, it's really, I'm coming to see, it's all about serving Him faithfully and facing any death that we must face with the changed heart by the gospel. Look at the gospel at don'tperish.com. Make sure you're born of it. Looking for eternity more than looking for this life here. And others seeing you die with the grace of God, the Spirit of God, the hope of God, not fear, not holding on, not regrets, not in sin, not in worldliness. This is what I'm trying to talk about here. Revelation 12:11 says, "We overcome by the blood of His by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony." That would be how we die, right? That man has a terrible testimony, dying in a water skiing incident as a godly man, so-called godly man. "And we love not our life unto death." So not holding on to our life when we see death is coming, as if we don't want the next life to come with Christ. You see my point? So today, as I ponder all this and I'm sharing with you, I really could care less how I die. I kind of changed my mindset. I still ask God for a good death. But what that means to me now is that my testimony and my life and my manner of death shines Him all the way without any sin or question or doubt. And that I hold not to this life, but to the one that comes, that I live it to the fullest for Him, that I preach the gospel as He's called me to do it, and that I be a witness and a testimony unto Him. If I die as a martyr preaching in the street, because that could happen, I have a lot of angry people walk up to me. Any day it could happen. A man in Alabama was just killed going door to door preaching the gospel. He was shot, killed dead. Sadly, he was a worldly evangelical, but he died preaching the gospel. That can happen. So if I die out preaching, I'm fine with that. If I have to face cancer and die slowly, so be it. You know what? I'm going to die facing it with the hope and the grace and the truth and the word and the Spirit of my God. And I'm going to preach until I can't preach no more, right to the end. And when death comes, I'll be ready for it. That's going to be a good death to me. No matter how it works out, any death of any saint, if the cause is not sin, foolishness, worldliness, heresy, it's God honoring. And it's going to be a witness and a testimony to those around you. So give me an example. If I die out in the street and I die in the name of Christ and that goes out into the media or whatever, hey, maybe people are here and go, "Wow, that guy died preaching the gospel. Maybe I should be doing that." If I die and wither away at cancer, and the people would see me and say, "You know what? That guy was suffering. He suffered for years with cancer. He didn't let up and preached and lived and taught and discipled and loved and reached out to people all the way through the end. And he wasn't afraid. And he wasn't bitter. And he had no regrets. And he didn't hold on to the world. Yeah, he's going to miss his wife. He's going to miss his brothers and sisters. But he's going to the next life that Christ has secured for us." That's the testimony I want. That'll be God honoring. That'll be an awesome witness, right? It will. Let me close with this. Romans 6:9. "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him." Saints, that goes for us too. If we're baptized in Christ, living for Him, born of the gospel, obeying Him as fruit that we know Him, our tree is full of godly, obedient fruit. We're not living in willful sin. Death has no dominion over us either. So I want you to rejoice with me, saints. He overcame death for us. We're not our own. All we have to do is choose the manner of how we live daily in His word, of His word, about His word, obeying His word, coming out of the world, coming out of man-made religion, come out of your flesh, put away the water skis, open your Bible, Live godly and holy in all your ways. Don't profane the name of God. We need to rejoice in all these things that God's given us. Let our light shine. We can rest in that, knowing that we are shining our light, being salt, and that we're living for Him, and He's being glorified in us, in both our life and our death. What more could we ask for? I can't think of anything more. So that is the way I see it. A good death today is a good life lived right to the end, faithful, right to the last day. Then die without profaning and bringing a stain upon, shame upon the name of this holy Savior. To hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. So that's what I got for you today. Ponder your life and then ponder your death. It's coming. Whether you're young, middle-aged, or old, what kind of life do you want to have? What will people know you for? We all know, we've all been to funerals. We used to go to funerals when we were pagans in the world. You always hear these stories about the drunken, mean-spirited uncle, and you go to his funeral, and everybody says, he was such a nice, loving, godly man. He's in heaven looking down. We all know the hypocrisy of people's life stories. Let that not be so among us. Let them say, we didn't like them because of what they preach. We disagreed with them. They can use all their pejoratives. Oh, they were mean-spirited. They were too holy. They were this, they were that. But one thing they'll say, wow, they really stood for what they believed. And that guy lost his life over it. That guy kept preaching even though he was dying of cancer and he wasn't holding on to this life. Yeah, let that be a testimony to those around us. So thanks for listening. I hope you'll ponder life and death. I hope you have a good death. It simply means I hope you're living for Christ every day, right up to the last minute, no matter what you're doing. Stay out of the world, stay out of sin, stay out of foolishness, stay out of the flesh. Live holy, die holy. Hope that's been encouragement to you. Go to don'tperish.com, go to the teaching blog. We're putting more and more right on our website at don'tperish.com. Sisters blog, videos, audios. We're already planning to get ready out, to get back out on the road this spring to be preaching the gospel. We've had a good time of rest, storing up. We've had some trials to overcome. And God is opening the door for us to go once again. So, life and death. Oh, our Savior mastered it for us. All we got to do is walk in it. We're here to help you in that. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day, living for Christ, ready to die for the cause of Christ. To die is gain. Amen. May God be praised.